Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John. I'm excited about the Word. I want to talk to you about stirring the water being stirred, and things happening in your life, and the move of God. And I want you to know I did not come this morning with wanting to tickle your ears and give you something to make you feel good about. My assignment is to fill you with the Word of God, to give you some nugget that in the middle of the week or the beginning of the week or the end of the week, when the enemy attacks your mind, you can go to the Word and stir up something that's already there. Are you with me, church? In other words, when you're under attack, that's not the time to get it. When you're under attack, it's the time to be able to just stir it up. It's got to already be there. I always say, look, if I go to someone for prayer, for healing, and they say, well, let me pray through first, I got a problem. Paul said, return not unto salvation. You don't have to do that. You get it in you, where God can get it out of you. You, my friends, are a conduit for God. And a conduit is just something to deliver something through, not to. And God wants to push something through you this morning. Get it in you to where when the enemy attacks you or attacks some of your family or attacks a friend, you can speak that stuff that is already in you and let that anointing flow. In John, the 5th chapter, going to read just a few verses, exciting verses, talking about the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says, after this, there was a great feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem to celebrate. And there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, which means having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, say certain time for me, into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease that he had. Now, there was a certain man. Say, certain man. Okay, so we got a certain time. We got a certain man who was a man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? Hello. Say, no, I'm just laying up here by this sick pool. No. Do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take your bed and walk. And immediately, say immediately for me, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Now, that is a good place to quit, isn't it? You just read there, and you get to the end of the story, and shazam, it's all over. But watch this. Verse 10. Let's continue. Just a couple more verses here. Verse 10. The Jews, therefore, said to him that was cured, it is the Sabbath. And it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. I love this. They're going to find something wrong with it. It's the Sabbath. And it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Verse 11, and he answered them and said, he who made me well said, take up your bed and walk. Look. I've been laying up in front of your church for 38 years. Nothing's happened. Now here come a man that all he did was speak into me and told me what to do, and I did it. And you think that I care what day it is. Come on. You know, we get to that part and we think, let me tell you something. We got to quit worrying about stuff that means nothing. We got to quit worrying about religious things, and we got to quit worrying about what people think and what people say and this, that, and the other. We got to get our mind set on what we need from God. God has provided everything that you need. You'll never face a situation nor a circumstance that God hasn't faced with someone just like you. They're just like you. They just at a different time. God has already been through this, and he wants to take you by the hand and lead you to the promised land. And he may have to lead you through some stuff in order to get you there, but you hang on to the hand of the master, and I promise you, he's going to get you there. So the devil's a lie. He will get you there, and when you get there, you're going to be all in one piece. You're going to be all in one piece, and you're going to be fine and everything. All we got to do is what the master tells us to do. We got to do what you... This guy didn't care what day it was. He didn't care what was up over the door, even though there was probably nothing over the door. But he didn't care what kind of church it was, who was the pastor there, what kind of music they did, whether it was loud or whether it wasn't loud. He really didn't care. You know what he cared about? When he got there that morning, he could not walk. He had been in that condition 38 years, and somebody said to him, take up your bed and walk, and he did it. Something was seeded into the spirit of that paralyzed man. I don't know, but I just would that God would give me the words to seed something into you this morning that would make you overcome the things you're having to face in life. He's going to get, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I come to get the victory? Well, I'm telling you, I got two people that needs the victory. Wow. It seems to me like every one of us in this building could use a little victory somewhere. Oh, you're going to see yourself in this sermon, I promise you. I promise you that. The Bible says that there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda. Now, this is not the sheep pool that is fed by the Gihon or Gihon spring and goes into the city that the shepherds would bring their sheep to, and they would go in and they would water their flocks there. But this pool was by the sheep gate. They brought the sheep in that way, but they went right on the other side. And if you went the other way, you would go to what we call the sheep pool. If you went opposite of where we're going. But this pool, the pool of Bethesda, had five porticos or five porches there. And in these porches lay a multitude of sick people. They were, the Bible says, sick, blind, lame, and withered, and paralyzed. And they were waiting on the moving of the water. You know, I have found in over 45 years of pastoral ministry that people are looking for a moving in their lives. We need a move of God. We may sit around and act pious and think that we don't need God and make everybody else think we don't need God, but I'm telling you, if you walk in my shoes 1 week, you'll say, I don't know who you are, but you need God in your life. I'm telling you, the enemy is on a roaring attack throughout the land. He's trying to destroy everything that God has presented to his people. The enemy first is going to be after your relationship with God. Then he's going to be after your relationship with people. Then he's going to be after your joy and your peace and your happiness. And then he's going to try to take your body away from you. He's going to try to attack you physically. But I'm here to tell you that God is able to overcome every obstacle that you will face if you will just trust him enough and know that he is God. All we need this morning is a great move of God in our lives. How many of you have, I won't say it, let me say it another way. If you're sitting in this building and you have family problems, or if you're sitting in this building and you're under situations and circumstances that you never thought you would be in, I'm here to tell you all you need is a move from God in your life. God will take care of you. He will minister to you, and he'll remove every attack from the enemy, and you will walk out of here the victor and not the victim. I believe that God is looking for a church. I'm not talking about a church, a small church in a small town, or a big church in a big town. I'm talking about the body of Christ. God is looking for his church to be a church in search of the move of God. You want things to happen in your life? Let there be a move of God in your life. For whatever God puts on the inside of you will eventually come on the outside of you. You don't have to worry about those things around you. God will change those. What you need to worry about is those things that are on the inside of you. Because those things that are on the inside of you are who you really are. Those are the things that's going to change you. This pool of Bethesda was a pool that people went to, and in certain seasons, certain times of the year, God would send an angel down, and he would stir the waters, and whoever stepped in first would be healed of whatever disease they had. Now, Bethesda in the Greek was called Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida means house of mercy. House of mercy. How many of you know that wherever you find God, you're going to find mercy? How many of you know that what you need in your life is mercy? Don't give me justice. Don't give me what I deserve. God, give me mercy. Oh, the man after God's own heart wrote and said that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like to call those two little gospel pups. Come on, goodness. Come on, mercy. Follow me everywhere I go. Listen, they're like two little gospel pups that's on your heels everywhere you go. And we need to recognize goodness and mercy are those things that God has given us. And that's what's going to take us through when we're facing these things in life. Now listen, people need mercy. Listen, if you need mercy, you will do anything to find it. You will figure out a way to connect with mercy. You need mercy in your God, give me mercy. Oh, when I go before him at any time on my prayer, God, give me mercy. I quit trying to tell him what to do. I just say, God, give me mercy. Because whatever you do, I've got to accept it. And I need the mercy to overcome whatever effect it's going to have on me. God, just give me mercy. I'm telling you, I'm no different than you. I face things I don't want to face. I've had to go through things I did not want to go through. I've lived a life that most people would never believe it. I come up in a bar room and I had all kinds of things happen. But let me tell you this. Goodness and mercy was following me when I didn't even know God. Goodness and mercy was always there, regardless of where I was or what I was going through. I may not have heard them, and they were probably not yelping where I would know that they were there, but they were still there. And everywhere I went, here come goodness and here come mercy right in behind me. And I thank God this morning more than anything else, and that is for mercy. I would not even have salvation if it wasn't for mercy. God had mercy on me and brought me out of a life of sin and give me the victory. And I believe that you and I need to understand this morning that no matter what we're going through, God is going to take. There's already a moving of the water inside of your soul. Now, these people were looking for mercy. The porches were full of sick people waiting on the moving of the water. They were looking for mercy. They were looking for a real move of God. Oh, you know, I just got to say this. I kind of wrote it in my notes, and I scratched it out, and I put it back, and I scratched it out again. But these people were looking for a real move of God. If there's one thing it seems like the church has walked away from, that is the desire of a real move of God. Oh, yeah, we love to see the miracles. We just don't like to be in a position to have one. Yeah, we love to see, you know, prosperity flowing. But are we willing to do what God says in order to receive? Church, we need a real move of God in our lives. We need to desire and every morning get up and say, God, I just pray for a move of God in my life. I pray, God, that you would just put a move in me that will flow out and will be reflective of who you are and how great you are. We need a move of God in our church. We need a move of God in our city. We need a move of God in our family. We need a move of God in ourselves. We need a move of God. We need a real move of God. We need for God to move. But things have got to change. You know, I believe that when we begin to see in the Bible how when God began to change things and a move began to start, it sometimes takes longer than you and I anticipate. Have you ever noticed that? And, you know, so many times I find myself praying this way. Hey, God, I know that you're not limited by time, but I am. You're going to have to extend some. I mean, we need to move here. We need for you to work with this thing. So many times we don't realize that sometimes, and every time that God's going to have a great move in his church, in his people. Go back to the Old Testament, in his people. Go to the New Testament, in his church. Every time there's a name change. No longer shalt thou be called Jacob, but Israel. Pastor Ron mentioned earlier, there was a name change in the book of Daniel. Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That wasn't their names. They were given those names. They were all four given names. See, there was name. God begins to change. How many of you know that I got a new name? New Testament. I got a new name. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, there was a what? New name written down in heaven, and it's mine. Are you there with me, church? It starts with a new name. Somebody needs a new name this morning. Someone needs to have a move of God in their life, but you got to be willing to give up the old name and everything that went through it with it. You got to be willing to give that up. If you want to have a new experience with God, you're going to have to give up the old stuff. You have to be willing to put all that stuff behind you and say, God, I'm looking for a true move of God. I'm willing to start with a name change. And give me a name change. But whatever you give me, give me a newness in my life. The church is in a position today that we need a tremendous move of God. I was talking with an elderly couple. I mean, someone actually older than me. I was talking with an elderly couple, and I said to them, they're in their 90s, and I said, tell me, in your lifetime that you can remember, what is the greatest change that you've seen in life? Now, this may not interest some of you, but I found that I'm in the presence of someone in their mid-90s. I wanted to know, what is the biggest change that you've seen in your lifetime? You'll never guess what the answer was. People. 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 I mean, I'm saying, look, in my lifetime, I've seen a lot. And in your lifetime, you've seen even more than me. I mean, I don't remember the first automobile, but you do. Oh, I remember people landing on, I don't hardly believe that myself back then, but we had people on the moon. All of these, and you tell me that the greatest change you've seen in the world? People. And I begin to think about it, and people are different. People tolerate more of the world than we've ever tolerated before. Oh, come on. We've allowed the enemy to just move right into our house. Open the door. And say, move right. I say, come on in, Mr. Devil. I got you a bedroom fixed back here. Come on, church. People are allowing the world to come in to the house, in to the church, in to everything, into our families. We got to put a stop to it. We need a move of God. That's the only way we're going to stop this thing is to have a tremendous, true move of God in our lives. And that's the only way that God's going to be able to create the church that he's going to have. And he may have to start with a porch full of sick people. He may have to start with this porch that's full of sick people. And I believe that we don't realize how much we truly need a move of God in our lives. Listen, these people had gotten to the point that all they wanted was to see the true move of God because they had tried everything else. And when they looked and the water began to stir, I've been to that pool many times. And I've seen how and I can in my mind right now picture that pool, the pool of Bethesda. And I know what it looks like. I see the porches that were around it. Part of them are gone now, but you can still see kind of like the way it was. And you see how that they were that the people would sit around there. They would wait, and you begin to relive these incidences in your mind. And you're standing there looking at the pool, and the pool is kind of down, and you wonder how in the world all of a sudden the water began to just swirl. And there could have been people in the pool, but those people didn't count. It's the one that stepped in after the moving of the water. And the water would just swirl, and I begin to relive that, how that the water would just twirl and swirl, and whoever stepped down in there first was healed of regardless of whatever disease they had. And many, many, many times people have been to that pool, and they would see someone crippled being laid into that pool, entered into that pool, and when they would come out walking. People of all conditions, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. I heard someone say the other day, is how come we don't see miracles anymore? We do see miracles. Miracles are happening every day. Listen, there's no way in the world that you can get on North Monroe between 5 and 6:30 and make it to wherever you go and not think it's not a miracle. You've got to just see that miracles are happening. We have a move of God already in our lives. We're just not able to recognize it. The move of God is happening. The move of God is happening in the church today. And these people came to that pool looking for a move of God. They wanted a move of God. They had to have a move of God. So they came every day. They came hoping that would be the day that God would send the angel and the angel would stir the water. And they were there looking for a miracle. And you know what? They didn't care who saw them there. They didn't care. You know, I've sat around and I kind of observe people and things and situations and circumstances. And I've been here myself, and Pastor Ron, and Pastor John, and I've seen how we all throw the net for an altar call. And people need God, and I know they need God, but when the net's thrown, they just sit there, and they don't move. And we try every way in the world that we can in order to entice you to respond to the moving of the water. I've gotten to the point where I don't even think we need to cast a net. I think what we need to do is present the word and let the Holy Spirit convict you. And if you want to stay in your sin or if you want to stay in your condition, well, sit right there and stay. But if you don't, you won't care who sees you get up and walk to that altar. You won't care who sees you or what they think or what they say. You will know what you're after, and you're going to go after it regardless of what anyone else thinks or regardless of what anyone else says. I don't know about you, but I've been in the condition and in a place to where I needed God so bad, I didn't care who said what. Oh, listen, I saw you down there at that pool wallering with them sick people. I saw you down there. I saw you get up in church and walk down to that altar. I saw all of that. I don't care what you saw. I was looking for mercy, and I saw mercy wallowing in the pool. I saw mercy stirring the water. I needed mercy, and listen, I'm telling you, I can remember coming up. If they gave an altar call and I had a need, I went to the altar. I'm preaching to me, I guess. You know what? I didn't care. I remember one time me and my brother-in-law, David. Me and David was in church. We're a little beefhead. It was our grandmother. She'd beat us to death if she heard me tell this. We was on the back row. There was a visiting preacher there, and the preacher was just preaching away. And he got to the end of his sermon, and he said, well, actually what he said was there were 10 people that needed to come to the altar. I guess God told him how many. I don't know. But I understood him to say that when he counted to 10, the Lord was coming. And I looked over there at my brother-in-law. I said, did you hear that? He said, when we count 10, the Lord's coming. They said, he didn't say that. I said, I think he did. Somebody went to the altar, and he said, 1, 2, 3, I'm looking at David. David's looking at me. When he hit 7, David said, you can sit here if you want to. I ain't going to hell. Man, he jumps up and here he goes to the altar. And in my mind, what did I think? There ain't but 2 more places left. And I'm going to have 1 of them. Listen, I didn't care. And I brought that with me through life. And when I became an adult, if I need prayer, I don't mind asking. And if I'm in a church and they have an altar call and I have a need, I'm going to go to that altar. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I want you to hear this. If I'm in that church and they have an altar call and I don't have a particular need at that particular time, I'm going to go anyway and pray for somebody that does. I'm going to be sitting right down there waiting for another Charles Pettis to come down that needs it. Come on, church. We got to have a move of God, but we're not going to get a move of God until we get out of this mode of worrying about what everybody thinks of us. Let me tell you, one of these days there's going to be a judgment day, and we're going to stand before God. We don't hear this kind of preaching all the time, and I know it. But there is going to be a judgment day, and we're going to have to stand before the Lord God Almighty. And I never want to stand before him and say, yeah, I remember those times I was sitting in church and the preacher gave an altar call, but I set my sorry self right there and wouldn't get up because I was afraid of what someone would think of me. I wonder what they think of you now. You know, we just got to get past some of the looks and some of the talk and get past worrying about what people are saying for them to say, I saw you, make you feel bad because you were trying to better yourself. We gotta get past all of that stuff. If you're participating in a sport, you don't worry about what people are seeing. You're just going to improve yourself till you can accomplish whatever the coach wanted you to accomplish. You're going to do the things you need to do in your job. You're going to do what you need to do to perform to your greatest ability, where you'll be the one get the promotion. You'll be the one get the pay rise. Church, what I'm trying to tell you is you got to let people go. How many of you know people will get in your way? People will stop you from being blessed. You got to get out of that, and you got to realize that God has something for you. You got to get rid of the he said and the she said and the they said and I saw you and all that mess. And we need to move and let God. We need to find mercy, and we're going to find it in the pool of God. The Bible says for an angel would come down and at certain times into the pool and stirred up the water. And then whoever stepped first after the stirring was made well or whatever. Listen, it was already in the water. All it needed was stirring up. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, Timothy, you got to stir up that gift of God that's in you. Timmy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. And I know it's in you. I laid my hands on you, and not only is it in you, it's in your mother Lois and your grandmother Eunice. Man, this thing's been handed down to you. You got to stir that thing up. You got to get it stirred up on the inside of you. Whatever you need today in your life is already in you. You just got to stir it up. It's already there. All you need is to stir it up. It was in the water. It's in you. You just got to start stirring this morning. Wow, the Bible says that an angel came down and he stirred the water. An angel came down and he stirred the water. I need, listen to this. How many of you know the definition of an angel? What it means? Going all the way back to the Hebrew, you can do the Greek same way. You know what it means? Messenger. Just a messenger of God. A messenger. God sent a messenger to stir the water. Listen to me. God sent you a messenger. I'm nothing but a messenger. I'm an angel. I know that's going to surprise some of you. But in its purest form, I'm just a simple messenger. God sent you a messenger to say all you need to do is stir the water. That's all you need is to just stir the water. That's all you got to do. It's already in you. I'm your messenger. I'm telling you that what you need is there. You don't need anything that is not already in you, and God just wants you to stir it up. God wants it so stirred up that the enemy cannot unstir it. See, we're worrying about the devil stirring up things. We've got that all wrong, hello. He ought to be worried about what we stir up. I don't think y'all quite understand. He trembles when you and I go to the throne of God. Oh, you don't know the power that God's given you just simply by your relationship with him. How many of you ever heard of guilty by association? How about victorious by association? Yeah, there you go. You got it. You got. See, you don't know the power that dwells within you just by who you are. Man, let me tell you something. Every time you go to your father, the devil trembles, in my own words. He don't know what to do. What in the world? How many of you remember reading in the book of Acts over there around the 17th, 18th chapter where the disciples had made such a stir in the city? He said, you know, those fellas that stirred up the whole world has now come down to Jerusalem. They're in our city and they're stirring things up. I'm telling you, the devil ain't worried a bit about God's church today. Because you're going to sit on your butt and do nothing. And very few of us pray. Uh-oh. I'm preaching now. I know it. If it's for you, say hallelujah. If it's not for you, say bless him, Lord. You just got to get to where we are in the world today, and we need a move of God, and we've got to have God minister to us and touch us, and we got to quit worrying about the devil stirring up stuff, because we should be one step ahead of him stirring up our own stuff. Oh, I'm telling you, we'd keep the devil so busy he couldn't attack us. Worrying about what we've done, what we're going to do next. Man, we're a loose cannon. God's church needs to be a loose cannon. The devil don't know where we're going to shoot next. You want to stir the water? Man, get on your knees and let God recognize who you are. And you begin to pray, and I promise you, the devil will begin to quiver when you start stepping. Listen. Look at somebody and say, you need to watch what you step in. Literally. If it's not moving, don't step in it. Somebody got it. If it's not moving, if it's not stirring, don't step in it. And if it's just laying there, don't stir it. Because it'll make it stink. Come on, church. I forgot this is live stream, isn't it? Well, it's already said now. All right. What we've got to do is get ourselves in a position that we're waiting on the stirring, on God stirring it, and then we step in. And God's going to meet our need, but we got to be willing to step into it. We got to be willing to. The Bible says now, there was a man that who had an infirmity, 38 years. I like the way it says it in the fourth verse. It says, now the Bible said in the fourth verse that an angel went down at a certain time. I ask you to say certain time. And in the fifth verse, it says there was a certain man. A certain time and a certain man. I ask you to say that. A certain time and a certain man. Did you notice that as long as these two certains stayed apart, nothing happened? But once they collided, once they come together, there's two things that's certain in your life. That's you and God. And if the enemy can keep you separated, the two certains, as long as he can keep you separated, nothing's going to ever happen. But if you ever connect, the devil better watch out. Because there's going to be a move of God. I'm telling you, I believe that in this last day, and the day, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear that either, but I do believe that we're living in the last days. I honestly believe that. I can't help it. And when I pray about stuff like that, church. I really do. God, show me. I want to know. I don't want to go and get before the Lord Jesus, and he says to me, where is the flock you were over? Well, I forgot to tell them. I don't think so. I'm going to say, I told them. Lord, I told them. They didn't listen to me. Well, I'll just deal with them. Oh, come on, I love you, but I can't take that. Listen, you're going to have to realize that we're living in the last day, and there's certainly a judgment day coming. Jesus Christ is coming again, and he is going to receive his church. And we don't know when, and we don't know how it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. We have no time. I hear these people saying, oh, it's going to happen on such and such and such a day. I always think, well, that idiot. What in this God's world would somebody get up on TV or something and say, God told me something he wouldn't tell his own son? Hello. No, that don't happen that way. If he wouldn't tell Jesus, I promise you he didn't tell that person. Because he could even trust Jesus. And he knows he can't trust us. Because we lie to him too much. Hello? Y'all help me out. I'm trying to close here. All right. So we have this certain man, and we have this certain time, and when they come together, God began to move in that pool, and something began to happen. What's this, church? I've learned that one of the things that I'm always reminded of this, every time I read this passage of Scripture, that I don't know how many times I've read it, but I think about this. We were kids. We lived on a farm, kind of a farm, a makeshift farm. We just enough to get one family by. And we lived on this farm, and right down from our farm was a nice-sized creek. Now, it was nothing like a river. It was a creek. But we swam in that thing. And I can remember during the summer, every time we got through doing what we had to do at home, guess where we headed to? We headed to the creek. And there would be a bunch of people down there, probably at least 10 or 12. But to me, it was a bunch of people. All the people in there, all the kids, they come to the creek, you know. And I can remember running, and whoever was in front, you'd hear them holler, "The last one in is a rotten egg." Y'all never did that, did you? I mean, we would be, and I noticed something later in life. Whoever was in the back never hollered that. It was always the dude in the front hollering there. But this is the same thing. Here they are sitting around this pool, and the first one to step in after the stirring of the water got healed. And I always like to think this is that passage of Scripture about the last one in, the rotten egg. We got to be the first one. And this teaches me, you know what, I want to be the first one in. And when the altar call comes, I want to be the first one at the altar. I want to be the first one in. How many of you ever just left to follow someone on the interstate? Or do you kind of like to get around them? You like to lead. It's called control, in case you don't know. And you like to be the one in the leader. You like to be the leader. You like to be in the leading position until the blue lights come on. I've seen those too. But what I want you to see is that We want to be in the leading position until we hit calamity or until something happens. And then we wish we had somebody to follow. Amen? All right, finishing up here. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he'd been there a long time. He knew he'd been there a long time. What's this? He'd been in that condition, the Bible says, a long time. You know, once you're in a condition for a length of time, people can recognize it. Thank you. Oh, you can go out and have a few drinks, and nobody probably know it. But if you did it every day, day after day, day after day, one drink leads to five leads to 10. Next thing you know, every day you're getting drunk. It won't take long. Somebody look over and say, "Look at that drunk." You begin to look like it. Come on. I know you don't want to admit that. But you begin to look like it. You begin to look like your condition. And Jesus could recognize it. But not only Jesus, everybody there could recognize it. The Bible tells us that he was laying there. He'd been laying there a long time. Listen. Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be what made well? You know, when I first read that, and remember how I responded with such a smart aleck attitude? Really? I'm just laying up here for the... No. I want to be healed. Jesus said, do you want to be healed? How many of you know there's some people enjoy being the victim? Some people really enjoy being the victim. They don't want to be out of their misery. They enjoy being that victim. They enjoy being the victim. Every time you come to church, there's a choice to be made. This guy had a choice. Watch this. How many of you believe that when Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? If he would have said, nah, I think I'll just lay up here another year or two. Jesus probably said, well, you just lay your sorry self here. And I'm being honest. I'm not being lying about it. He had a choice. He had a choice. He could either be healed or he could lay there. And every time we come to church, we have a choice. You know what? We used to sing this little chorus. It's old. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Old. So powerful, though. And every time that we come together in the house of the Lord, we need to recognize we got a choice. And we need to declare, I'm not leaving here like I came. I love, as you stand up with me because I'm through. I love the story. I've got a lot more notes, but I'm not going to bore you with them or hurt you with them. But watch here. I love the story of Jacob, who would that day have a name change, and he'd be called Israel. And I love that story. The angel, he wrestled all night long. And finally, the angel said, let me go. And old Jake said, we done fought all night, not till you bless me. I'm not going to fight you all night and not leave here with a blessing. So the angel said, well, no longer will you be called Jacob, but Israel. You got a choice. Jacob said, I'm not leaving here like I came. I done spent all night fighting you. I'm not going to leave here like I came. And you can do the same. You can say, I'm just not going to leave here like I came. I know I brought in some problems that nobody knows about. And I don't want them to know about. Well, good. Keep them to yourself. But God already knows. God already knows. But I'm not going to take them with me out of here. I'm going to leave them here. We don't have what we used to call mourner's benches. Y'all remember those? We called them, some people call them altars. We called them mourner's benches in the Methodist church. That's what they were, people go mourn over their sin. And we had these mourner's benches. And people would come to the mourner's benches and they would leave whatever they had. They'd leave it right there on that bench. And then they'd go their way. Sometimes they'd come back the very next Sunday and they'd leave something else. Or may even leave the same thing, because sometimes you have to make more than one trip. Come on, church. Anybody who's been in this thing long enough knows. Because some things the enemy don't want to turn loose of. You enjoy it too much. I mean, you got to just realize it takes more than one trip. But if you don't want to leave here like you came, I'm not going to beg you. I said that earlier. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come just kneel at these, on these steps here. Just come and kneel. And just pour it out to God. Give it to God. And declare when I get up, I'm not leaving like I came in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing and pray, I'm going to ask them to turn the house lights down just a minute. If you would like to come pray, please come in Jesus' name. Please come. But if you're done, go enjoy your day and love the Lord. He loves you. Come if you would need prayer or want to pray. That's it. All of us live. Just come. That's all you got to do. Just come in Jesus' name. Just kneel and let him have it. Just kneel and let him have it. That's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. That's it.